You're listening to the Weekend Collective Podcast from Newstalk ZB.
There's Local Government Minister Simeon Brown. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, look, it's complicated. What are the key notions behind this plan that you'd like ratepayers to understand?
Well, effectively, this plan avoids the proposed Watercare increase in water rates of 25.8% on 1 July. That means during a cost of living crisis, we can keep water bills down, which is great news for water consumers. But it also unlocks the ability for Watercare to make those long-term investments in water infrastructure that it needs by making sure that entity is financially separate from Auckland Council, so it can invest more in the water infrastructure that Aucklanders need, which is unlocks housing, cleans up our harbours, and means that we've got that drinking water that we need here in our biggest city.
Is it about them being able to borrow more over a longer term?
That is a big part about it. So because they're part of Auckland Council or considered part of Auckland Council, they are restricted in how much they can borrow up to by Auckland Council's debt cap. By making sure that they are now financially separate, they will now be able to borrow according to their own revenues, not according to what Auckland Council limits them by. And that means they can borrow significantly more, and that means they can make that long-term investment in that infrastructure that's needed, whether it's the Central Interceptor, whether it's upgrading the drinking water, wastewater across the city, supporting housing growth. They're able to do that without being restricted by Auckland Council's balance sheet.
I'm not sure if this is a dumb question. Who do they borrow from?
Well, effectively, it's a mixture in Auckland. Auckland Council borrows some of it through the local government funding agency, which then borrows through different debt markets.
Yeah.
Or they borrow via institutional bonds or institutional investment means like other companies might as well. So councils predominantly across New Zealand borrow through what's called the local government funding agency. And that means that they have significant debt caps put in place because they borrow as a group. That puts debt caps in place, which means they're restricted via those covenants, and that limits how much they're able to borrow and invest, which is prudent, but it also means when you're needing to grow, it does make it much more challenging.
Why is this better than Labor's plan? Because Kieran McEnulty, one of his responses has been that the costs would have only been a 2% rate rise under their Three Waters plan.
Well, it's better because for a number of reasons. Firstly, we didn't spend $1.2 billion coming up with this plan like Labor did. Secondly, it leaves it in council's control. Thirdly, it means council still owns Watercare. They're still the owner of it. And then fourthly, I don't quite believe Kieran McEnulty's numbers. I believe he's basing it upon some DIA advice he would have received when he was a minister, which would have had a price cap and would have meant that Watercare wouldn't have been able to increase its capital spend and actually make those long-term investments. By reducing the amount down to 2%, Watercare would have been restricted in terms of the capital pipeline. Mm. And that is actually really important when there's such critical water infrastructure that needs to be built in Auckland.
So he's saying the Auckland Northland entity they would have created would have had a double A credit rating, while Watercare will be triple B. What's the significance of that? And is he right? And does that make a difference to what the current entity will be able to borrow?
Well, that would have only been the case if the Crown had guaranteed that entity.
Yeah.
And that would have meant the Crown would ultimately have taken the risk of that entity. Under what we have done here, the council is not able to lend or bail out Watercare, but the Crown won't be either. The Crown will specifically not be guaranteeing any of Watercare's debt. And so, yes, it's likely that the credit rating will be lower.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the point that we'd make here is we're getting to a point where this entity is able to borrow on its own revenues, it's able to make those long-term investments. And ultimately, this is what Local would have done well, was all about looking at for local solutions to support local councils who have invested in their infrastructure.
Are you confident they'll be able to borrow what they need then?
Well, this increases their debt cap significantly, which is what Auckland...
I don't mean legislatively. I mean in terms of what lenders are going to be willing to advance to them.
Well, ultimately, that is based upon their revenues. And so Watercare has 700,000 connections or 700,000 customers across Auckland. They all pay into Watercare, and it's like any business. You're able to lend based upon your balance sheet and based upon your your revenues. Mm. And so that will mean that they can borrow more because they won't be restricted based upon, because they're part of the Auckland Council group, they're financially separate, which means they're now able to increase that borrowing and make those long-term investments.
So what's the government's role here? Is it just basically making the legislative changes rather than acting as some sort of guarantor?
That is correct. So we won't be, there'll be no guarantee from the Crown. We will be legislating, making a number of key legislative changes to enable this arrangement. Firstly, we will make it clear that Auckland Council will not be able to support Watercare. We'll also be making it clear that the Crown won't be guaranteeing any of the debt. We'll also be putting in place a Crown monitor and some interim economic regulation, because a big part of what's actually needed in our water infrastructure in New Zealand is actually making sure that we're getting good value for money. And so, as I outlined earlier today, Watercare's operational expenditure, that's not their CapEx, has increased by 46% in the last 5 years. That's well above inflation, which means which highlights that the organisation is not necessarily operating as efficiently as it can be. And so by putting in place a Crown monitor, putting in place some interim economic regulation, we're going to be able to have a much clearer view as to whether that organisation is operating as efficiently as it needs to be, so that we can get value for money for ratepayers here in Auckland.
Okay, outside of Auckland, there'll be people listening, I would argue, probably some very interested parties in some of the other countries, cities around the country. What does this mean for the rest of the country's infrastructure and local councils?
Yeah, so this is all part of our Local Water Done Well plan, which is providing local solutions to councils across New Zealand. So we're going to have more legislation. The legislation that will come in the middle of this year, which will deal with Watercare, will also help support other councils to put in place council-controlled organisations or joint council-controlled organisations across multiple councils. And that will support them to be able to also achieve the economies of scale and to be able to make those investments and to be able to access that longer-term funding and financing. So there's more work that we're doing, and that will support councils, not just Auckland, but across New Zealand, to be able to make those choices.
What about the smaller councils where they really just don't have the income to be able to borrow what they need?
Yeah, so what we will be requiring all councils across New Zealand is put forward a water service delivery plan, which will outline how they intend to invest in water in a financially sustainable way. As part of those plans, they'll need to outline if they can do that by themselves or whether they need to work with other councils in order to do that. Councils are already starting those conversations already, talking about which councils they will work with in their regions to set up these council-controlled organisations. And we'll have more policy decisions that we'll be announcing in the middle of this year to support that and to support the funding and financing that they need.
One of the councils that's grabbed the headlines, I would argue, is Wellington, in terms of the way they've been managing or not managing their water infrastructure. Do you trust the council there to make the right decisions?
Well, I think the reality with Wellington Water, which is the current CCO, it's not a full CCO. Effectively, it operates more like a service delivery entity.
Yeah.
And it's required to go back to those councils on an annual basis to ask for money to be able to make future investments. So we'll be enabling that to actually turn into a full CCO. I've engaged with the mayors down there that are already having these conversations. And that will allow them to have a much more rigorous type of organisation which will be able to make those investments and also provide some financial separation rather than councils having to provide revenue to those entities on an annual basis.
Yeah.
They'll be able to raise revenues themselves, which is how Watercare operates. So there are significant reforms required around much of the rest of the country, and we're going to continue working with those councils.
Are you surprised how quickly this deal's come together? Because, I mean, it does seem that it did take a while to get the Three Waters thing moving or not moving. What did it take to get this deal with Auckland up and running, and we're in the beginning of May?
Well, I met with the mayor, I think it was 4 or 5 days after I was appointed the Minister for Local Government, and I said to him, we've got to sort this problem out by 1 July. We can't, it's unacceptable to have a 25.8% increase in water rates. He agreed, and we put in place a process to get this problem solved, and we did it. And the reality is, we spent about $350,000 asking S&P to test the options. They came back with their advice. And then we made a decision, and now we're going to legislate it. So the reality is we were focused on an outcome, and we delivered it. And that $350,000 is hugely less than the $1.2 billion the last government spent on a controversial plan, which did not take local government with it, took assets off local councils, took away that local control, and ultimately was incredibly divisive with co-governance. Mm. So we've found a way through this, which is sensible, pragmatic, and ultimately it's about finding local solutions to these problems.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your time. Actually, I just have one other quick little question, only because I saw your face sitting next to the speaker when Julie-Anne Genta went rogue. What was going through your mind when all that happened?
Well, look, I can't really comment on the situation now that the speaker has is looking into it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Parliament needs to be better than this.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I won't get you into trouble by trying to draw a comment out of you. Simeon, thanks very much for your time this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
For more from the Weekend Collective, listen live to News Talk ZB weekends from 3 p.m. or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.